welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Before we get started, I want to say this program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And in particular, I want to thank William so much for his support. He sent in a one-time donation through our website, support.greatdetectives.net, and you can support us there or become an ongoing contributor at patreon.greatdetectives.net. But now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane, and the title is The Case of the Phantom Neighbor.
There he was, squinting down the gun barrel at my throat. I was wishing I'd taken Lefevre's advice and kept out of the whole deal. Then I saw his fingers start to tighten on the trigger, but all I could do was stand there, helpless, knowing that in one more second, death would be flying my way.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Jeff Chandler. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of the Phantom Neighbor.
Oh, okay, okay. 1:15. Great time to be Hello.
Is this Michael Shane?
Yeah, who's this?
Ann Griffin, Mr. Shane.
Ann Griffin?
Yes, that's right. No, we've never met before. You don't know me and I don't know you. I'm in apartment 23 at the Bryant Arms and I'm sitting here all alone.
Oh, well, look.
They tell me I'm pretty, Mr. Shane. They say I have a nice personality.
Huh?
I wear clothes well. I can play the piano a little.
What?
I dance, swim, ride, play golf, all in all, I guess I'm a rather desirable person, Mr. Shane.
Look, so you're a real peachy kid. Do you have to wake me up in the middle of the night to tell me about it?
I've an awful lot to live for, haven't I, Mr. Shane? I have a boyfriend named Tom and a car and everything a girl could want. Isn't that fine? Isn't that just fine? Aren't you glad for me?
Look, maybe you know what this is all about, but believe me, I don't. Unless it's someone's quaint idea of a joke.
Joke? Yes, I suppose it is a joke. A big one. Do we both laugh together, Mr. Shane?
Oh, now, look, let's both be calm. All I want to know is one simple thing, one little tiny thing. Why did you telephone me?
I picked your name out of the book. Wasn't that nice of me, Mr. Shane? Because now you're lucky. Just think, you'll be the first one to know.
Know what?
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the Phantom Neighbor.
Well, I thought I'd heard just about everything, but when a bitter young lady named Ann Griffin telephoned me at 1 a.m. to tell me she'd just killed a man, I felt like I'd just been slapped in the face with a wet towel. I pulled on my clothes and beat it over to the Bryant Arms. The door to apartment 23 was unlocked. I went in. Ann Griffin was sitting in a chair, staring at the wall. On the floor at the other end of the room, a man lay face down, dead.
Hello, Mr. Shane.
Hello, Ann.
Thank you for coming.
Who is he?
Lyle Metcalf.
What happened?
I'm not sure.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's dead. Dead.
No, get hold of yourself, Ann.
Guess I killed him. I didn't want to do anything like this.
Ann, cut it out.
Yes.
Now, look, I don't know what you expect me to do, but there's nothing I can do except call the police.
Mr. Shane, you probably won't believe this. I couldn't blame you, but deep inside, I can't believe I killed Lyle Metcalf. I can't believe it.
Now look, Ann, I want you to tell me everything that happened. Don't leave anything out.
I'll try to start from the beginning. This is Lyle Metcalf's apartment. I came to see him tonight.
He your fiancé, a boyfriend?
No.
I see.
He sent for me, and I had to come.
What time did you get here?
About 11. Lyle insisted I have a drink with him, and I did. And then I started to feel very strange, sleepy and dizzy. I told him I wanted to walk around and get some fresh air. He didn't want me to leave. But I did anyway.
You think there was something in the drink?
Well, there must have been.
What time did you leave the apartment?
Oh, maybe 20 minutes after I arrived.
Well, that'd make it about 11:20. Okay, then what?
I'm not sure. I was in sort of a daze. I just wandered around up one street and down another.
Now, look, try to remember what you did.
I can't.
Did you see anyone? Talk to anyone?
Wait a minute. Yes, the coffee shop. I went in. I had a cup of coffee.
Where was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, fine. Anything else?
Yes, there was a man. He told me his name. I can't remember it. Jimmy, or something like that.
You talked to him?
He talked to me. He followed me for a while, and I just kept walking. And then I didn't see him anymore. I came back here.
You don't know who he was or where he is, huh?
No.
Oh, great.
I think... Oh, it's no use.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think you're right, Anne, but let's have the rest of the story. You came back here to the apartment.
Yes, it was a little before one.
You're sure of that?
I think I remember looking at my watch.
You think? Look, Anne, you've got to do better than think.
Well, I'm trying. I had a spinning headache.
Sure, no. All right, go ahead.
I opened the door and I walked in. That's it.
What do you mean, that's it?
Well, that's the last I can remember.
What?
Yes, everything just sort of went black. Then after a while, I realized I was lying on the floor with a gun in my hand. There in front of me was Lyle. He was dead.
Well, I don't know what to say, Anne. That's not exactly a convincing story.
I know.
Hey, wait a minute.
What is it?
Look, did you telephone me as soon as you realized what had happened?
Yes, why?
You called me at 1:15. You probably didn't black out for more than a few minutes. That'd make the time of death not more than half an hour ago. Metcalf looks to me like he's been dead considerably longer than that.
What do you mean, Mr. Shane?
I don't know. Maybe nothing. Anne, turn your head to the side a little.
Huh?
Turn it. That's it.
What's the matter?
Sort of a welt behind your left ear.
Welt? What? Oh. Yes, there is.
Any idea how you collected that?
No. Well, I told you I had a spitting headache while I was wandering around the streets. I think I remember stumbling and falling once, but I'm not sure.
Well, it's just my luck to get mixed up with you, I guess. Of all the private detectives in New Orleans, you had to call me.
What do you mean?
I mean, I could easily qualify for Cluck of the Year for doing what I'm about to do.
I don't understand you.
It's not surprising. I'm not sure I do either. But come on. I'm going to report it to the police, and then you and I are going to try and find one of the people who saw you wandering around.
Oh, but Mr. Shane...
Yeah, I am. I'm just soft enough to hope there's a chance you didn't kill Metcalf after all. Sure, I should have had my head examined, but I called police headquarters, and then Ann and I started out. And it was a losing proposition. We wandered around for a while, and she did find the coffee shop where she'd been before. But according to the gent there, she only stayed long enough to discover that she didn't have a nickel with her, and then she beat it again. Which meant she had an alibi for exactly 1 minute of those 2 hours. We kept on a while longer, but I could tell none of the streets looked familiar to her.
I guess it's no use, Mr. Shane. I don't remember anything around here. I think we might as well go back.
Yeah.
I want you to know how much I appreciate your help anyway, Mr. Shane.
If you could only remember more about this gent Jimmy you say was following you for a while. The guy who wanted to make a date. What did he look like?
Sort of tall and thin, I think. I know, Mr. Shane, I know it's not enough of a description to give you one chance in a million of finding him. What's the good of talking anymore?
Look, Anne, before we go back, I want you to try just once more. Is there anything you haven't told me? Have you left out anything at all?
I don't think so. At least, not that I can remember.
Okay, Anne, let's go back. We went back to the Bryant Arms, and neither of us was very talkative on the way. I opened the door to apartment 23, and we went in. Metcalf's body was still on the floor, but the chair right beside him was now occupied.
Hello, Shane.
Oh, hello, LeFevre.
Miss Anne Griffin with you?
Yes.
This is Inspector LeFevre of Homicide, Anne.
Yes.
That private eye badge getting a little heavy for you?
What do you mean?
I mean, maybe we could give you a lift and take it off your hands.
Well, now, look, Lefevre, I reported the murder, didn't I?
Yeah. And then you and Miss Griffin here decided to have an evening on the town, maybe.
Please.
Look, Lefevre, I was just
trying to... I'll save it, Shane. I want to question Miss Griffin first, but I'll get back to you again. You can count on it.
Lefevre questioned her, and she told him the same story she'd given me. About that time, the coroner arrived, and they took the body away. Finally, Lefevre motioned to Sergeant Dykes to take Ann to headquarters. She got to the door with him, and then she stopped.
Goodbye, Mr. Shady.
Goodbye, Ann.
Thank you for everything.
Okay, Shane, now let's have it.
Let's have what?
The reason you thought you had the right to start running this case.
Oh, look, Lefevre, I wasn't trying to run the case.
No, of course you weren't. You just waltzed off with the chief suspect, that's all, but you weren't trying to run the case. You weren't interfering with the police at all.
Now, look, don't try to pin anything like that on me. I reported the killing, I haven't withheld any evidence, and I brought your suspect back.
Yeah, and you beat your deadline by exactly 5 minutes.
My deadline?
I had a warrant for your arrest in front of me. Next time I'll sign it, remember that.
Okay, Lefevre, okay. So maybe what I did wasn't smart, but I think Anne's innocent.
Yeah.
Well, sure, her story sounds a little weak, but I think she's telling the truth.
A little weak? Shane, a gentle breeze would blow that story over and nothing flat.
But that part about going in a coffee shop's the truth. I talked to the guy.
Oh, sure you did. She's got an alibi for 1 minute out of 120.
This guy who followed her, if we could find him, maybe...
Shane.
Look, what was the time of the death?
We think between 11:30 and midnight.
But she said he followed her for quite a while. Maybe it was for that half hour. Maybe...
Maybe there was no Jimmy at all, Shane. I think you're wasting your time.
Look, Lefevre, I don't get hunches often, but I've never had a stronger one than this.
Well, don't try to do business on hunches, Shane. You'll go broke fast.
I tell you, Anne's innocent. I'm going to prove it to you.
Where is he? Where is the policeman?
Well, I guess you mean me, sister. Who are you?
I am Suzanne. Lyle Metcalf, the one who was murdered. He was my man.
Yeah?
I saw them take his body away. They told me what had happened.
All right, take it easy.
It was she who did it, that woman.
Anne?
How do you know?
I knew she was coming to see him tonight. I waited outside. I watched her. She was coming to see my Lyle. I saw her arrive. Then she came outside and down the street, but 5 minutes later, she came back.
You're sure about that?
Of course I am sure. She went back into the apartment. She did not come out until the policeman brought her out a few minutes ago. She killed him. She killed my Lyle.
All right, Shane.
Look, I...
Like I say, you've been wasting your time.
But maybe there's still a chance.
No soap, Shane. It was a nice try, but you just lost yourself a client.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the Phantom Neighbor.
It all started when a girl named Ann Griffin called me over to Lyle Metcalf's apartment a little after 1 a.m. There was Metcalf dead, and Ann pretty hazy as to whether she'd killed him or not. I'd tried to sell Inspector Lefevre on the possibility that Ann was innocent. About then, the dead man's girlfriend, Suzanne, came barging in and said Ann had only been gone from Metcalf's apartment 5 minutes instead of 2 hours, all of which cut the ground right out from under my feet. Well, I left and started back to my office, but I hadn't gotten very far before a very rugged-looking guy collared me.
Just a minute, Shane.
Who are you? And get your hands off of me.
Okay, Private Eye, open up.
I said get your hands off me. Who are you, anyway?
Tom Harris. Ann Griffin's my girl.
Well, so I still don't see where you get off shoving me around.
I want to know who put you up to it. Who's paying you?
What are you talking about? Paying me for what?
For hanging this frame on Ann.
Frame? Are you by any chance talking about the Metcalf killing?
You know that's what I'm talking about, and the way it looks to me, somebody hired you to drag her into it.
Oh, get this, Harris. I've spent most of the night getting my neck in a sling with the cops while I wandered around with your girlfriend trying to find an alibi for her, because I believe she was innocent.
Huh?
Right up until a witness told us Ann was lying. So I'm in no mood to listen to you sound off about something you don't know anything about.
Hey, wait a minute. You were trying to help Ann.
What did you think I was doing, trying to see how mad I could get the cops at me?
Well... Look, Shane, I guess I got a couple of things wrong.
I guess you have, brother, so if you'll just get out of my way before I...
Well, I'm sorry. I guess... Well, the whole thing has sort of knocked me for a loop. Hey, wait a minute. You said something about a witness contradicting Ann's story?
That's right.
I can't believe it. I can't... Ann!
The trouble is, Harris, right now the cops do believe it.
Mr. Shane, I don't know what Ann was doing in Metcalf's apartment. I don't intend to ask her. But I do intend to stick with her.
Yeah, I think you better. Because it looks very much like Anne's going to need all the support she can get. I left him standing there looking slightly sick, and I went home to bed. I was going to forget the whole thing. Matter of fact, I spent the rest of the night trying. I tried right up until the time I walked into Lefevre's office at 9 a.m.
Now, Shane, don't tell me that you still
look,
think...
Look, Lefevre, all I want to do is ask a couple of questions.
Okay. Ask.
Who was Lyle Metcalf and what did he do for a living?
He was a gambler. Incidentally, he was killed with his own gun.
Oh? Well, who'd he run around with?
Usual crowd. Eddie Zerniel, a couple of lesser lights.
Eddie Zerniel, huh? Oh, nice boy.
Yeah. Rumor is that Metcalf had been pretty lucky lately.
You won him big, huh? Anyone know who he'd won from or whether he'd been able to collect?
No.
Well, look, maybe that could have something to do with it. Maybe somebody paid off Metcalf with a slug instead of dough. Someone like Zerniel.
Well, that's a pretty theory, Shane, but it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Ann Griffin's our number one suspect.
Okay, but maybe you won't mind if I sort of nose around a little.
Still wasting your time, huh? No, I don't mind.
Thanks, Lefevre. Just put it down. I happen to have a little time to waste. My first stop was at Eddie Zerniel's, Metcalf's gambler friend. Zerniel was alone at his desk with a polite smile on his face and a coin in his hand.
Call it, Shane.
Heads.
Tails.
Tails it is. Lyle Metcalf got himself killed last night, Zerniel. Or maybe you already knew that.
Call it.
Tails.
Heads. I read the paper, Shane.
Metcalf, a friend of yours? Heads.
Tails. You don't call him so hard, do you?
Maybe I'll get better. I asked you if Metcalf was a friend of yours.
I already told two cops he was, so I'll tell you too. Metcalf was a friend of mine. That make you happy?
Heads.
How can you be so wrong so often, Shane? Tails.
Metcalf owe you dough, Zerniel, or was it the other way around?
I owed him, though.
Oh?
Yeah, two bits. That sound like a good reason for killing him.
Tails.
Well, you're consistent, Shane. You call him wrong every time. Maybe that means you should quit trying to call him at all. Get it?
Yeah. On the other hand, maybe it means you should quit using that second coin you've been hiding in your hand. Get it? Well, aside from a lesson in coin flipping, I'd gotten nothing from Zerniel. I went over to Metcalf's apartment and wandered around for a while. Just about to give up and leave when it hit me. I'd been in his bedroom, and all of a sudden I realized I'd been staring out the window. What was outside was a narrow air shaft, and 4 feet away was another window. The apartment on the other side of the building that backed up to the air shaft. I stared across the shaft, but there was no sign of life in the other apartment. I beat it down to the manager, but it got me nothing. The apartment had been vacant for 3 weeks. Well, about then, my head was feeling very bruised from the stone wall treatment. I started down the hall of the apartment house, turned the corner toward the front door, and ran right into Lyle Metcalf's girlfriend, Suzanne. Oh. Well, what are you doing around here, Suzanne?
Why, I live here.
Here, in this apartment house?
What is wrong with that?
Nothing. What apartment do you live in?
26. Now, I must go get out 26. Of my way.
26? That's around the corner from Metcalf's apartment.
Why?
Incidentally, there's something I wanted to ask you about the story you told Inspector Lefevre last night.
I have nothing more to say.
You told him you've been watching Metcalf's apartment all evening. Where were you watching it from?
Let me
Where
go.
Where were you?
My apartment. Now, let go of me.
Oh, no. You can't see Metcalf's apartment from yours.
No, I mean it was from the street.
Oh, no soap, Suzanne. The cop on the beach said there was nobody outside.
I mean to tell
you. Yeah, you were lying, Suzanne.
No, I tell you, I saw
You're lying. You weren't in any place where you could watch Metcalf's apartment.
I say, let go of me. You have no right to.
I've even got it figured out why you were lying. You knew Anne was coming to see your boyfriend. You got jealous. You figured you'd try to hang it on her if you could, right?
I have nothing more to say to you.
Lefevre.
Shane, you're a big bully.
Look, did you hear what Suzanne just admitted, Lefevre? She was lying when she said Anne was only away from Metcalf's apartment 5 minutes.
Yeah. You probably caught her off guard with all that fast talk of yours and the bluff about the cop on the beat.
Well, then that ought to prove
it. It proves Suzanne was lying, Shane, that's all.
But just...
Shane, look, Anne still doesn't have any more of an alibi for those 2 hours than she did before. Now, if you can turn one up, good. I'll give it a listen. But don't bother coming around unless you can.
All of which left me no better off than before. Obviously, the only alibi Ann could possibly hope for was the tall, thin gent, Jimmy, who
followed her around for a while trying to get a date with her while she was out walking. But I'd realized a long time ago that the odds against finding this Jimmy were just about 1,000,000 to 1. So by the time I got back to my office and pushed open the door, I couldn't have been feeling any lower. I started for my desk, but the chair was already occupied.
Well, you're Shane, aren't you?
Yeah, who are you?
Name's Jimmy.
You believe in making yourself at home or... Wait a minute. Let's have that again?
I said my name's Jimmy.
Oh, no, it just couldn't be.
Sure. I'm the guy who followed Ann Griffin around the streets last night.
Well, I'll be... So I break my neck trying to find you, finally give up, and you walk right into my office.
I read in the papers what the girl said about a tall, thin guy named Jimmy following around. She's right. It was me. So I thought I'd better show up, help her out.
Hey, look. You have any idea how long you were following her around?
Sure. From a little after 11 till past 12.
Are you sure about that?
Sure. I'd stop her and talk to her a while, and she'd start walking again. I finally gave up. I figure when it's that tough to get a date, it ain't worth it.
From a little after 11 until past 12. Yeah, that does it.
Does what?
It covers Ann for the time of the killing. Oh, brother, you don't know how glad I am you dropped in. Because you've done a lot more than just help Ann. You've saved a life. Jimmy and I headed for police headquarters. He told his story to Lefevre, and 20 minutes later, Ann was out of jail. Her boyfriend, Tom Harris, called for her, and it looked like my job was just about over.
Come on, dear. I'll take you home.
Never mind, Tom. I'll just get a taxi back to my apartment.
Look, it's late.
Please, Tom. I'd just rather be alone for a while.
Oh. Well, sure, Ann. Okay.
Mr. Shane, after everything you've done for me, saying just thank you is so inadequate. Thank you.
Sure.
You probably think I'm a prize heel, Shane, for acting the way I did after Ann was arrested.
I can understand how you felt, Harris.
You know, I'm really not such a bad guy when you get to know me.
Oh, glad to hear it.
And if there's anything I can ever do, well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like to get back to my apartment. I'm just a little tired. Goodbye, Mike, and goodbye.
So long, Ann. Tom put her in a taxi, and then he got in his car and drove away. I just stood there in the shadows, feeling tired, being glad that Ann was in the clear. I was just about to start for my car when a black coupe passed by, going slow. It looked like the coupe was following Ann's taxi. The guy in the coupe was Jimmy, the witness who'd cleared her a few minutes ago. All of a sudden, I got a real shaky feeling about Ann. I got in my car and followed Jimmy. He pulled up in front of Ann's apartment and went inside. 2 minutes later, I followed. I climbed the stairs, went down the hall, and stopped in front of Ann's door. I could hear voices. Then I heard Ann say, "It's all I've got right now." I opened the door fast. There were Ann and Jimmy, and Ann had some money in her hand.
Mr. Shane, what are you doing here, Shane?
Well, so it's payoff time. Hey, Ann?
Well, Mr. Shane,
congratulations, baby. You had me fooled, but good.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, but
you're wrong. You really made a sucker out of me. So you're the one who owed Metcalf dough. You killed him, then hired Jimmy here to be your alibi.
That's not true. You've got to believe me. No.
Look, baby, it doesn't matter whether Shane believes you or not. He's checking out as of now.
Huh?
Yeah. I got a real nice setup here, Shane. You or nobody else is going to spoil it for me. This gun is going to make sure you don't. Right now.
In a moment, we'll be back with a thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
Well, there I was in Ann Griffin's apartment with Jimmy, the bought and paid for witness, squinting down the barrel of a gun at me. I was wishing I'd taken Lefevre's original advice and kept out of the whole deal. I saw Jimmy's fingers start to tighten on the trigger, but all I could do was stand there and then... Hey, what happened? Somebody shot Jimmy.
Mr. Shane, the door behind you.
Huh?
Tom.
Yeah. Tom.
Wait a minute. I don't get it.
I was trying to tell you, Mr. Shane. It's Tom. Tom is the killer.
What?
I just found out a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, now, look.
Yes, she's right, Shane. My dear little Ann is right.
So you're the one who owed Metcalf the dough, Harris.
I didn't know that then, Mr. Shane. When Metcalf called me, he told me Tom was in trouble with him and I could help by coming to Metcalf's apartment, but... Then when he put something in my drink, I knew I had to get out of there in a hurry.
Wait a minute. I don't quite get where this guy Jimmy fitted into the deal.
He followed me while I was walking around. That was the truth. But what I didn't know was he followed me back to Metcalf's apartment. He He started to leave, but then he saw someone crawling across the air shaft out of Metcalf's apartment.
Namely, me.
Well, I guess when Jimmy read the newspaper the next morning, he could piece together what had happened. He was afraid to try to blackmail Tom.
So instead he got you released from jail so he could blackmail you, huh?
I didn't know what to say when he came to me just a few minutes ago. I thought if I could stall him...
Yes, my dear, and speaking of stalling, there's been a little too much already.
Well, Harris, it was a pretty workable idea, wasn't it? You watched Metcalf's apartment from across the air shaft. When Ann left, you crawled across and killed Metcalf. And when Ann came back, you knocked her out and put the gun in her hand.
Look, I said there'd be no more stalling.
You know, Harris, you told me a little while ago you weren't such a bad guy when I got to know
you. Don't come any closer, Shane.
You were right. You're a real keen kid. Framing your sweetheart for a murder you'd committed.
Get back, Shane. Get back!
He was still standing in the doorway with the door half open. It was now or never. I dove in low, hit the door, and it crashed into his gun arm. The slug whistled past my left ear. I brought my fist up and connected with the gun. And it flew out of his hand and across the room. He turned and ran down the hall. I pounded after him. He went down the stairs three at a time and increased his lead. Then just as he got to the bottom and headed for the front door, a foot shot out of the shadows and hooked his ankle. He spread-eagled in the air, came down hard, and lay still. Lefevre!
Yeah, he was really in a hurry, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had good cause to be.
Well, it just goes to show you, Shane, never hurry. Harris probably got a broken nose right now because of that.
Yeah, that'll be the least of his worries from now on. He's your killer, Lefevre.
Well, now that's real interesting. Anything in the way of proof?
Yeah, but why don't you find out for yourself?
What do you mean?
Well, after all, I'm just a guy who's been trying to run the case, interfering with police, and wasting my time, remember?
Oh, now, look,
so
Shane.
So just go right ahead.
Shane!
Me, I've got some more time to waste. This time, it's going to be in bed.
Shane!
Good night, Dreamboat.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday and written by Bob Wright. The music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chen. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, I think Lefevre did have reason to be angry at Shane in the first part of the episode, though he once again shows up to bail out Shane at the end. He's practically Mark Donovan at this point from The Adventures of Frank Race. Well, our first listener comment is an email from Joel, who comments regarding episode 1995, another dumb episode where the hero gets bested, beaten, and used. The plot is a poor excuse for an episode. Shane can't be over soon enough for me, please. I do have good news for, well, at least Joel, and that is that there's actually only one more week of the New Adventures of Michael Shane, and then another week of the ABC version of Michael Shane after that. Well, that will do it for today. Join us back here, as I said, next week for the last of the New Adventures of Michael Shane. And then join us back here tomorrow as we present The Private Files of Rex Saunders. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.